This is Jason Marsden, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe Renegades. You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yo, Joe.
Hey, it's Jesse Rass here, and you've made the great escape into comics by jumping inside the pull bag today.
Hello, everyone. This is I, TFG, and Mike from the GeekCast Radio Network here inside the pull bag, if you're hearing the sound of my voice. This is one of our syndicated episodes from Jesse Early's Another Comic Review. The link to his website will be in the show notes, but this will be multiple Skybound Entertainment dual coverage. We recorded these last year in 2024. Here in episode 571, you're going to hear our review of G.I. Joe number 1 from Image Comics and Skybound Entertainment. When you get to episode 572 next time, you're going to hear Void Rivals number 14. And after that, a week later, actually 2 weeks later, you'll hear G.I. Joe number 2. So that's what's coming up here in episode 571. Hope you enjoy it. As always, notice I skipped over episode 573 is because I recorded something else for that episode. And then episodes after 574, hopefully we will have something else that's different, that isn't syndicated content from Jesse. I am hoping this year we can get through these episodes to hit 600 by the end of the year. So you never know. I have huge plans for episodes 580 to 589 and then 590 to 599. I don't know if those are going to work out, but here's hoping. And yeah, as always, make your great escape into comics and enjoy another comic review of G.I. Joe number 1 from Skybound Entertainment with myself and Matrix Prime, a.k.a. Jesse Early.
This is another comic review, episode 35, recorded November 18th, 2024. Another comic review. Welcome to another comic review. My name is Jesse, and as always, I am joined by TFG1 Mike from GeekCastRadio.com.
Hello, hello, hello. I am here.
He's here. He's awake now.
Yeah, I'm awake now. Yeah, so thank you.
I sent the pizza man to deliver a pizza and knocked on your door and woke you up.
I didn't get any pizza. Nope. I don't know what you're talking about. Now you owe me a pizza. I need Michigan's best pizza ever. Whatever that is, give me Michigan's best pizza ever.
I can do that when you do your 24-hour show.
No, nope, man. That's not. 24-hour show requires 24 pizzas.
One pizza every hour?
That's man, right.
That's a lot
straight
of pizza.
Hey, you want me to go 24 hours? I need energy, right? Anyway.
What about 12 pizzas and some breadsticks?
No, that wouldn't work.
No? All right.
No, that wouldn't work. No,
well, today we are not discussing Transformers, we are not discussing Void Rivals, and we're not discussing miniseries. We are here to talk about the brand new, just launched G.I. Joe number 1 from Image Comics by Joshua Williamson, Tom Riley, Jordi Belair, Russ Wooten, the same team behind the Duke miniseries.
Yep.
So quick synopsis from ImageComics.com.
Wait. I'm sorry to interrupt, but wait. We have to talk about the cover. Not cover, but the inside cover, how they do the, because this is different. This is not like what they did in Duke or Cobra Commander or this is.
You mean it's readable?
Yes, it's readable, but this is freaking cool. I love this design because it's essentially like a file report. That's what it's supposed to be. Mission log 100101. Okay, sure, that's all right, sure, fine, whatever. But just, I love how again, you have a black background here, you have white background with black text for each of the letters. I like the way this is laid out. And I know comics do this all the time, but they talk about how it's lead operatives, as you just mentioned, everybody that works on the book, the four people that mainly work on the book. And then cover support. and they list everybody who's done a cover, because at the end of this, before we get to previews, we're going to talk about the covers to this issue. But go ahead. Sorry.
That's a lot of covers, by the way.
It's not that many. He's exaggerating. There are six.
Are you saying some of the people on here? Well, but isn't each one of the people listed here? Are they behind one of the covers?
Yeah. But
so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yes, that's
7.
A lot of people. Yes, you are correct. A lot of people. But they eat, like, the point is that maybe these are all of the people that are going to be ongoing and doing covers ongoing for the series. Maybe it's not just this issue. Maybe they're listing all of their names now, so that way in the future issues we get the same names, maybe, or maybe they'll change it up. I don't know. All as I know is I see the main cover, the blue with the red wrap around with the villains, and then six variant covers.
All right. Well, when we get to the eighth printing and we've got 2,500 different names on here, then we can circle
back. If this comic gets an eighth printing, it'll be the most popular breakout G.I. Joe comic ever.
Well, I mean, on that note, the synopsis here from Image Comics, series premiere, the biggest comic book launch of the decade. So.
That's right.
Conrad Hauser, codenamed Duke, has assembled a special force known as G.I. Joe to battle the rising power of the mysterious Cobra in the aftermath of the Autobots and Decepticons' arrival on Earth. But the enigmatic Cobra Commander has unleashed the power of Energon like never before. Featuring many familiar faces and the first appearance of an all-new character, this is the comic that will change everything you think you know about G.I. Joe, and that's only half the surprises in store from the chart-topping Energon Universe Dream Team of Joshua Williamson and Tom Riley. Are they a Dream Team?
They could be in the future.
And like the USA Olympics?
I was going to. Are we going back to the 90s and talking about MJ and everybody?
I think so, yeah. I mean, that's what I think of when I think of Dream Team. So, mm-hmm.
Me too.
in my quick rundowns, we open with a flashback montage from scenes featured of the Duke miniseries with Duke voiceover rallying his new team. During their training exercises, we get a Duke and Hawk conversation with Duke giving an assessment on his new team, which serves as an introduction to the new G.I. Joe team, which consists of Duke, Rock and Roll, Stalker, Cover Girl, Clutch, and Baroness. We cut to Springfield, USA, which apparently, just like The Simpsons, doesn't tell us exactly where it is. Where Destro is overseeing Cobra forces marching through town, and Cobra Commander is working on his robotic hand. The two of them talking about the Energon they will need to take over the world. At Destro's request, Mercer presents Cobra Commander with a new weapon, a laser rifle that makes short work of a dummy during a test fire. We cut to Abu Dhabi, where a well-dressed but unnamed man enters a club and takes on an arms dealer and his cronies with a message of not to sell to Mars Industries. We cut to the pit, where Duke is contemplating how he is going to turn his new group into a team. Hawk drops by and informs him that the team will have their first mission the following day. The next morning, the Joes have a brief to learn that their mission is to protect a shard of Cybertron that had fallen to Earth in Transformers number 12. As the Joes begin their mission and enter the lab where the shard is being studied, Cobra hacks the security system and begins an assault. We close on a cliffhanger with an all-out battle between G.I. Joe and Cobra, with not one, not two, but eight laser blasts going through Rock and Roll with the words, "To be continued."
Yup.
So, thoughts and review of G.I. Joe number one.
First thing, all of the colors everywhere, and it's awesome. Every single page, every single scene in this new number one, the colors are perfect. They really are. Everything, from the title page to all the colors, black, white, red in between, whatever, to the opening page where it's the four panels of the Duke miniseries kind of thing, where it's the big page where Duke is like, let's go, let's do this, blah, 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 blah. Everything else. All I love, the colors are so bright and just bring you in. And then they get dark in some of the scenes, and it works so, so well. But literally, there's every color of the rainbow, God, if I can talk, is here. And it's awesome. I absolutely love it. As far as the story goes, it's a nice setup, I think. I think it's a nice introduction to what's going on here. And I think that if you're not like us and you didn't read all of the miniseries, I think I can safely say, giving this to someone who knows nothing about G.I. Joe or knows nothing about the Energon universe or has not read anything, you could give this to somebody and say, here, just start here, and you'll learn everything else at some point or another. If you want to go back and read the other miniseries, go ahead. But this, I think, this is fun.
I think this is very, very fun. This is very cool. And I'm interested to see how it goes forward with the teams of the Joes versus Cobra and all of that. And yeah, man, poor Rock and Roll. That's a lot of laser blasts. Good thing they weren't red lasers. They're blue lasers, because at least, you know, you can't see him bleeding.
I mean, he's like Swiss cheese by the end of this. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely, unfortunately.
No, I think I agree with you. Like, in terms of a jumping on point, obviously this is number one, so that makes sense. But I don't think you need to have read any of the miniseries leading into this. Like, I think you might be a little confused. I'm still a little confused about why Baroness is on the team, but yeah, you get to see her kind of join them in the Duke series, and then the Free Comic Book Day issue. Yeah. Right, you can kind of see her kind of becoming part of G.I. Joe. So there is a little bit of backstory there, but yeah, I don't really think that it's needed. I think overall, right, because this is the same team behind Duke.
Yep.
I like this better than I did the Duke miniseries, at least in terms of how that started. I guess where I'm having a little bit of a hang up is kind of where we're at in terms of the timeline.
Yeah.
Because when we ended Destro was almost like, it's almost like Destro thinks, and I think that's how he's supposed to be portrayed, I almost think that he thinks he's on the same level as Cobra Commander, or wants to be, but Cobra Commander doesn't like see that as the case at all. Whereas here,
Destro wants the power. He wants the leadership. But he's not there.
But here, yeah, it's almost like he's like taking a back seat. He's almost secondary. Clearly, Cobra Commander is the one who's in charge. Now, obviously, that we could see that change, or we could see him kind of like go behind Cobra Commander's back as the series goes on. But here it's just like, oh yeah, I'm overseeing the troops marching around, and now I'm playing second fiddle to Cobra Commander. It almost seems like it's a little bit of a different type of characterization of Destro than what we got in the Destro miniseries.
Okay, perfect. All right. So it's funny because, and you know I'm doing this, so it isn't like it's a surprise. I am syndicating the old content, not old content, but the content we've already done here on your show, like the mini series. I'm syndicating that on the pull bag because I need content. And I literally just put together Destro. Is it? Yes. Dismal Destro and Stunning Scarlet issues 4 and 5. So those podcasts that we did for those issues. And what I remember from the Destro comic and that poorly written series is that writer then tries to tell us what Destro's history is and why he is how he is, but that writer, in my personal opinion, failed in the job of getting that across. And here he has more care, even though we're going back to the whole him being subservient or him being the second in command, him being basically the Starscream of G.I. Joe to Cobra Commander's Megatron kind of thing, at least he's got character. That's my thing.
Right, and there's no reference to like, oh, my ancestors or into the Himalayan mountains.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing. Because this is about G.I. Joe. This is about the Joes. Like I said, the Joes versus Cobra. This is about the full-on battle, the teams, the this, the that. And I'm sure at some point Mr. Williamson is going to write in some part of the story where we, like, I don't remember a lot about, is it Cover Girl or Calendar Girl or whatever
her name is. Cover Girl, yeah.
Cover Girl, yeah, that's okay. Like, we didn't get a miniseries for her, not that we need one, but maybe now that we're in this ongoing, however these story arcs are going to play out, maybe we will see more character development from various characters. Maybe we will get, like I've told you this whole time that we've been doing this, comics to me are a balance. They're a balance between all of the action stuff and the fighting and the guns and the whatever it is, or batarangs or whatever, all the action stuff. It's a balance between that and then all the slow writing, not necessarily exposition, but all of the character moments, let's say. And let's say whatever's going on in this comic coming up and whatever else, let's say we get character moments from Cover Girl or from Baron. Like, if we had a Duke and Baroness scene at one point or another, that would be cool, I think. If we have a Cobra Commander and Destro scene, trying to figure out whether, you know, if Destro really is the Starscream type and wants to, you know, conquer Cobra and dethrone the Commander, all that, I think that would be super cool. There is so much that they could do with this series.
Yeah, 100%. I'm just kind of shocked at how I feel like the Destro we get in this is like completely different than what we got in the Destro miniseries. Again, different writer, I realize, but it just seems like
right.
two completely different characters.
Hey, so, like I said, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know that it's a bad thing. I just in seeing who we get here in terms of the Destro character, the characterization of Destro, yeah. it almost feels like we didn't even need that miniseries. Right. Nope. You know, forget the fact that it was a horrible miniseries, but I don't think we needed that. Like, I feel like over bits and pieces in you know, from issue to issue, we could have got all the backstory on Destro just in this main line.
Yeah. And honestly, if we did still need that miniseries, just get a better writer. That's I mean, you know, you could whatever.
I don't know, man. Everyone tells me, or everything that I read is like, it's one of the best series there is.
What lies have you been reading? Like, you experienced it. You know how horrible it is.
Stop I mean, this. I know it's horrible. I didn't enjoy it, but...
don't believe that bullshit. That fake news. Fake news. Hashtag sad. Hashtag sad.
Yeah. Whatever. So, yeah. I mean, I'm glad... I don't know where I was going to go with that.
You're glad that this is good?
I'm glad that this is good. I'm happy to see that the team from Duke was able to carry over what they were doing from Duke. Again, I wasn't the biggest fan of Duke. It wasn't the worst of the miniseries.
Right.
I think Scarlet was the number one for me, followed by Duke, and then probably Cobra Commander, and then Destro.
Yep, I agree.
But I think the outing here in this number one is better than the outing they had with Duke number one, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and again, because you have... With Duke number one, we're catching up with him. We're catching up with his character and what he's doing. We're finding out what he's doing at that time. Here, right. you start out with, like, we've already established that the fact that there are two G.I. Joe teams. We've already established that there's Cobra and there's Mars. We've already got that established now. So again, like I said, for someone who is brand new to this, which obviously we are, because this is brand new comic, but like for someone who had never read those, you could walk into this thinking, oh, this is the setup. This is cool. Maybe you have a couple of questions if you hadn't read the miniseries. But again, good jumping on point because you have character moments from every major character that we've already seen kind of thing. And it right. works. All of the characters, like this drone scene, like, wow, I love it. The flying drone scene at the beginning with them fighting the drones. I think that's super cool. I think that's fun. Even the scene with Destro looking over the troops and doing whatever the hell his dumbass is doing, you know, that's cool too.
He's playing statue.
You ain't lying. but no, it works. I'm excited for this series to see where it goes.
Yeah, I like the portrayal of Cobra Commander in this. He feels like what I know of Cobra Commander from the Real American Hero series, right? I'm talking about the cartoon, not the comic series. Yep, he feels like that character to me. When I'm reading this, it's got Chris Lott in my head. So.
Yep.
But no, I think this works. A question I do have is, so the preview for this that I read says that it introduces a new character. My assumption is that's the character in Abu Dhabi, but we don't know who that character is.
Yeah, I would assume so. And yeah, we don't.
At the very end of his scene, he's wearing some sort of wrist communicator. He gets a message that says, Risk, change in plans, return home.
Risk is the new character.
All right. Is that his name?
Yeah.
So it's not. Okay. So the message is saying Risk. That's his name.
Yes.
Change in plans, return home. Okay.
Yes.
Because it's a period. It's not like Risk, comma.
Yeah.
Change in plans, so, return home.
So this is what I don't know if anyone heard me typing this, but I'm like, who is this character? Going over to Screen Rant, you know, we don't have a John Wick character. G.I. Joe gets its own John Wick in New Recruit Risk, is the title of this. Joe number one was solicited. Fans were curious about the man in the fancy suit wielding a rifle. Now the writer, Joshua Williamson, reveals his exciting new character and what he brings to the series. Speaking with Screen Rant, Williamson talks about the new team member. His name is Risk. Williamson says he's an ex-CIA, kind of like a rich boy thrill seeker type of character. So that's coming from Screen Rant.
All right. Well, Joepedia does have an entry. It says brand new G.I. Joe named Risk comes from a rich family, cage fighter, lives on the edge.
Nice. Very cool.
So there you go.
There you go. That works.
And the photo they've got of him is from one of the covers, I believe. And it looks like he's wearing, if you remember the old Starter.
Yep.
Starter logo. That's what it looks like.
Yep. That's what it is. Good old, folks, back in the 90s, the Starter company was very, very, popular, and kids wanted to all have that Starter logo with the star and every. Yeah. Absolutely. So
I think you're just saying that we're old.
Well, we are. I mean, I could have mentioned the 80s, but Starter didn't really get super
popular. Yeah, it's
popular until the 90s. Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I think this is a great first issue. I think there's enough action with enough downtime, right? So I think we get a good balance.
Yep.
And I like it ending on a cliffhanger. If Rock and Roll is dead, I think that's horrible to kill him in the first issue. If he's not dead, I don't know how he survives this. But I think to take out one of the characters immediately when you haven't even, right? This is your very first mission.
Yeah,
it seems like you're trying to take away too much too soon. I mean, unless we're going to introduce Risk to replace him, but then we still have the same amount of people. So
I mean, they can. I mean, they took out Jetfire immediately. Jetfire's dead. So I mean, and they're using
is his he husk though? For, is he? We don't know.
Using, yes, he's dead. They're using his dead husk for transport. But I mean, in a comic like this, with so many Joe characters and so many Cobra characters and so many other characters from whatever they might introduce, having too many characters is always going to be a problem. So it's okay if somebody dies in a comic. It's not like it's the end of the world, I guess.
Not the end of the world. It's just like, right, if you hadn't read Duke, you wouldn't have been introduced to this character, until this issue. And it's like, he's on a few pages and now he's gone.
Yeah, so, I get it.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, I'm a big fan. The only thing I didn't like color-wise, I know you said you liked it from start to finish. The only thing I didn't like color-wise was the Abu Dhabi scene with Risk. It was, I guess I'm unsure what the use of the gold and the purple is.
Maybe they're just being flashy.
I mean, maybe. It seems like that's like the only couple of pages, only couple of panels where it's like, I don't know what these colors are supposed to convey. Because when he's walking into this club, right, it's like the rest of the comic, right? It's full color. Yeah. The moment he gets up to the door, then it's like it goes purple and gold. Everything's purple and gold. And I don't know why that is.
Maybe Mr. Williamson is a Lakers fan?
Maybe.
I don't know. Let me look at this again here. I know what you're talking about, but I remember the. Okay, here we go. So we get Cobra Commander on the previous page.
Yep.
Where he says yes. That was a horrible yes, but we go to Abu Dhabi, and Abu Dhabi. Essentially, the whole sky looks like it's purple-ish, and then the cover of the dome stuff, it looks bluish, and then we get this. Club design of purple and gold. It's a little weird, but I don't dislike it.
I guess I just didn't know what the meaning behind it was.
I don't think there is. Okay, so I don't think there is a direct meaning behind it. I think it's a. Because this is Risk, right? Yeah, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So they're giving Risk his own kind of like action color things, and it's purple and gold for some odd reason, but I think this was to break up and again to define his character more so than anything else. I don't think there's any other meaning behind it other than that, because Duke's colors are very desert-like. Cobra Commander's are very bluish and dark with whatever. Same kind of thing with Destro, because he's red and black, whatever. So I think maybe this is just a...
Well, so I just looked this up. Mm-hmm. And purple by itself, obviously, as you said, is like a symbol of royalty.
Yep.
Gold represents a kingly status.
Yep.
But when combined together, purple and gold can represent wealth and luxury.
Okay, so that makes sense because of what his character is. So that's good. Hey, I didn't dislike it. I was actually shocked that there was some kind of color like that in here. I was like, ooh, this is cool.
Yeah, and it says this color combination can be used to create a sense of prestige and exclusivity.
Yep.
Which makes sense, I guess, for this club.
Yep, absolutely.
Guess I should have Googled that before we recorded.
Yeah, it's okay. Hey, at least we find out now as we're recording the podcast and not, you know, have somebody, you guys are so stupid, like commenting or whatever. Like, please comment, by the way, folks, if you like the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then as we get to the last page here, and then we go to the letter, what will be the letter section, it's actually readable.
Yes, it's readable. I still don't care. unless the creators are going to say something specific in it, I don't care about the letter section.
Well, so, I mean, this is a letter from Joshua Williamson, because obviously no one's written any letters in yet. And he's just kind of talking about kind of his excitement for writing for this series, talks about some of the miniseries coming into this. And then it says that he's from Portland, Oregon.
Yep.
And when I was looking at the analytics for our podcast, for someone from Portland, Oregon who was listening to this. So don't know if it's Joshua Williamson, but
if you want to come on for an interview, Josh, we are most definitely welcome to you coming on the show.
If it is you, hello and welcome.
Welcome to another comic review.
And then as we get through the letters section, I remember you sent this to me several months ago. I don't remember how long ago it was, but you could submit your picture to be included at the end of this issue. Now, I looked through this and I did not see my face anywhere.
Did you submit it? I didn't do it. But
I did. Yes.
Oh, interesting. Huh. Maybe they didn't use it, but join Insiders for free now and get 5,000 blah, 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 blah. Team Cobra.
Yeah, so essentially there's like four different pages. Two of them include photos of people who said, yes, I'm on Team G.I. Joe, or I guess Team Joe, it says. And then there are two pages of people who said, yes, I'm with Team Cobra. Yep. And it's got little photos, square photos of people who submitted their photos.
Nice.
And I submitted mine, but I do not see it in here.
I guess they didn't get the email in time or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, but
I think that's super cool, though. Again, I like comics that do things that is not normally a thing. Like, you don't normally, you know, your Marvel, your DC, your big two, or even some of the other ones, they don't do something like that. I like it when comics do or I don't want to say original, but they do, you know, kind of cool things like that to get the fans engaged, like, you know, to say, hey, jump on board. This is going to be a cool bandwagon. This is going to be fun. And I'm really looking forward to issue two. So, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm glad we're finally out of the miniseries. I've been looking forward to just jumping into this, right? I think I stated that almost a year ago.
Yep.
Like, why do we need this miniseries? Can't we just jump in? And we're finally here, right? I can't believe it's been a year, but we're finally here. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to this series going forward. My only reservation for this series is I don't like that we're starting from zero, right? From ground level, where we're seeing the Joe team kind of learn on the job, right? We just followed them on their very first mission. For me personally, I would like to have seen the series kind of just start kind of like the team's already together. They already know what they're doing. Cobra's already a thing, and we just kind of build off from there. Like, I didn't need to see the origins, which I know was what the miniseries did. It's kind of what this first issue is doing. I didn't need to see that. I wish we would have just jumped into it. I think you could tell greater, more vast stories that way, but that's not what we got here. And I'm along for the ride because I want to see where it goes. So,
yep, absolutely.
Anything else on your end before we get to previews?
I think that's it.
All right, previews for issues 2 and 3.
All right, issue 2 will be released December 18th, 2024. Cover price $3.99. The biggest comic book launch of the decade continues. Cobra Commander unveils the next phase of his plan. Meet the Valkyries, the newest Cobra Special Operatives unit. And as they race to retrieve the new mysterious weapon, will Duke suffer his first failure as the leader of G.I. Joe? Dun, dun. You got the main cover here with Duke and all that. You've got variant covers with variant characters and things like that. Very, very cool looking for number 2. Number 3 will arrive, same cover price as number 2, $3.99, will arrive January 15th, 2025. They're still going with this, but the biggest comic book launch of the decade gets deadly. As tensions rise with G.I. Joe and punches are thrown, Cobra hunts a venomous new ally. okay, sure, let's go, I guess. And this is what I like about this, about G.I. Joe and how they do their covers. And like the last one's a little bit dark. This one's a little bit light for the main cover. And there are some variant covers. Again, more kind of character shots. I think my favorite one is the final one where it's a Cobra Commander with his little staff there and all the guns. And it's red, blue, and red, white, and blue with the gold G.I. Joe logo and all that for number three. So very, very fun.
So I'm looking up the Valkyries, and they are a team of females?
Yes.
So they're going to be the new...
So if you look at...
Cobra Special Operative Unit.
Yeah. So if you look at, under G.I. Joe number 2, that page from Image Comics, you click on the final cover, you'll see what they're supposed to look like, because that's basically a female Cobra Commander, and she look hot in that blue. I actually like that helmet a lot better. Here, I'll just send it to you.
I got it. Yep, I got it. She's got the V on her helmet. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like a Cobra Commander / Darth Vader esque.
Yeah. Well, it's hot.
So then we've got that, and I'm just clicking through the covers here. Man, the one is very bloody.
Yeah, it is.
So I guess I'm not aware of this team.
Well,
were
they say no, but see, like they say, newest Cobra. I'm assuming they're introducing this.
Right. I'm just saying, in terms of what, you know, my knowledge of G.I. Joe, thinking back to the cartoon.
But Real that's American what I'm Hero. Saying. This is just like what's his nuts? Purple and gold royalty dude Risk. Just like introducing Risk. They're introducing something new to G.I. Joe with the Valkyries is what I'm getting out of this.
That's not what I'm seeing. Like, I see toys of them out there. So I think they've been a thing. I just don't know. I guess I don't know if they've been a part of a Real American Hero. But it looks like Hasbro has created toys of them in the past.
Yeah, Classified Series Valkyries. Okay. Cobra Valkyries by Hasbro. Why isn't Jopedia the first thing?
I don't see anything on Jopedia at all.
That's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I think... That, yes, they probably created toys of these and things like that, but I think that this is something brand new. I don't think this has been in any other comic.
Okay.
Comic
or cartoon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't think this has been in G.I. Joe up to this point. If they have made toys of these characters, which clearly they have because we can see them on the Google image search or whatever.
Right.
But... Like, I mean, you know how these specialty lines like G.I. Joe Declassified or Transformer Studio Series, blah, 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 blah. Sometimes there will be a character that hasn't appeared anywhere and they just want to do it so they can start the trademark for it. I think maybe that's why I could be wrong, whatever. But as far as I'm seeing in all of these Google search links and images, this is it right now. G.I. Joe, Skybound Entertainment, Image Comics. This is the introduction to the characters of the Valkyries, even though there have already been toys of them. I don't see anything else anywhere saying that they've been established, because we are establishing them at this point. And again, folks, if I'm wrong, tfgandmike@gmail.com or feedback@geekcastradio.com. You know, if you want to school me on something that I know nothing about. But I mean, I'm serious. I don't care if somebody knows something I don't. Fine, I can admit that I'm wrong. Actually, if I was collecting this, like I know this is not going to happen, but I really wish the Valkyrie cover was the main cover of the book for issue 2. But I would definitely get that as a variant cover if I collected variant covers, because that is freaking cool.
Well, head on out to the local comic shop, pick it up.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to save that image and I'm going to have Steve make it the art for that episode when we get to it. Yay! G.I. Joe number 2.
In terms of number 3,
yes,
this is, as tensions rise within G.I. Joe and punches are thrown, Cobra hunts a venomous new ally. What do you think that is?
I ain't got no idea, but I'm here to find out about it.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of like venomous and an ally.
Ooh, if they do what I think, oh no, you bastards. If you,
Mike's looking into his crystal ball here, folks.
Miles May, if they introduce Mask under the G.I. Joe comic, you bastards, you amazing, imperfect, and glorious bastards. I'm just speculating at this point, but a venomous new ally to Cobra? Venom and Mask and Miles Mayhem was the leader of Venom, so maybe it's a backdoor Mask comic eventually, who knows? But damn, that would be fun. That would be cool. I would love to see Mask in the Energon universe.
So I don't know anything about Mask, but...
Okay, so Mask is Mobile Armored Strike Command. It was a TV series in 1985.
Okay.
And it lasted about 75 episodes. It was the story of Matt Tracker, his son's robot, and basically it's G.I. Joe and Transformers mashed together. So the human characters are kind of like G.I. Joe, and the cars that they have don't transform into robots, but they have special powers, like the Thunderhawk can fly. Rhino, the semi-truck, can do stuff. There's one that turns into a boat. It has a boat feature to it. Mask is very 80s. Sometimes it's very cringe because the writing is bad, but damn. If they did that, Venomous New Ally, if they did that, oh my god. And you can watch Mask, I believe, free on Tubi.tv right now. It's only 75 episodes, so...
So I just Googled that, and Venom is Vicious Evil Network of Mayhem.
Yes, it is.
And funny enough, it is also a Cobra.
Yes, it is.
So that would be very interesting. I also find it funny, right, being a child of the 80s, granted in 85, depending on what we're talking about in 85, I was either 3 or 4.
I was 5, so I was lucky.
But right, I mean, all these series ran in reruns throughout the 80s anyways.
Yeah.
But while I know the name, I know absolutely nothing about this show or the toys. And yeah. I can't think, there's never a time where I can think back in my head and be like, I remember seeing a commercial for this. I remember seeing an episode of this. It's like, I'm aware of it, but I didn't know that it existed.
Yeah.
But it seems like it would be very much up my alley based on what you're describing.
Oh, that theme song is going to pull you in, and you're going to watch all 75 episodes, I guarantee it, or at least the first 65. They're all pretty good for the most. They're not pretty good. It's 80s writing, folks. But if that's really what's going to happen, oh my god, you inglorious bastards, you've done it. You've actually done it. How dare you?
I mean, so maybe along the lines of what you're saying, just to back that up, this says I'm on mask.fandom wiki, yep. Mask wiki.
Yep.
Recently, I don't know when this was updated, but it says recently, Hasbro has merged elements of Mask into its G.I. Joe line. This new backstory claims that Contra World is part of Cobra.
I don't know anything about that, but yes, Mask has always been backdoored into G.I. Joe. And I know that sounds horribly wrong, but...
I mean, maybe that's what we're getting. Maybe this would be maybe they have their own Mask line or series, and then we'll have four series running simultaneously here.
I mean, it wouldn't, if you have a different writing team and art team on Mask, sure, fine, you could do that because they're all individual.
Destro team?
No. Don't, how dare you? Mask at bat. There you go. That'll work. Sure. I go with Kelly Thompson on that. That would be cool. I don't know if that's something.
Come on, Kelly, make it happen.
Yeah. I don't know if that's something she would actually do. Maybe she will. I don't know. But who knows?
I mean, I think at the very least, I think what you're talking about here is definitely plausible, whether or not it would turn into like an actual ongoing thing or not, but maybe just to bring him in as like a side character or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing here.
Right. So something along the lines of like maybe Skuxoid in Void Rivals, right?
Yeah.
He's been in several issues. He's not a main character. He's there as a side character, but I mean, they could do, you know, very well do the same thing here.
Yep.
Well, that's interesting. I guess I'm kind of curious to see where that goes now.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. That'll be fun.
Anything else for the previews?
Nope, that's it for now. Just the G.I. Joe ones, because we've talked about the Transformers ones already in many other episodes. You can go back to those old episodes, folks, or you can, you know, search for them yourselves for now. But yeah.
All right. Plugs. What do you got for plugs?
Plugs. Oh, boy. So, plugs. What is this, November? God, I don't even remember.
This is true. This is November.
I don't
Thanksgiving next week.
Yes. I don't remember what's in November. All right. So the pullback, like I said, because I need content, I'm syndicating our old episodes. So you'll hear Void Rivals number 11, Dismal Destro and Stunning Scarlet 3, 4, and 5, Void Rivals number 12, 13, and at some point next year, January, you'll hear this episode on the pullback. And then, folks, in December, I'm crazy. I'm so very crazy. Over on Studio 2009. So the thing with Studio 2009, when Steve Megatron and I started it in 2020 during the pandemic, I wanted a podcast where we could talk about anything and everything in the audio or visual medium. That means if you can see it, hear it, read it, watch it, listen to it, play the game, whatever, we would talk about it. Okay. Now, we've done episodes on so many different things over the last almost 4 or 5 years. But right now, I am prepping and planning for 31 days, 31 podcasts in December. It's crazy. I'm nuts. I know I'm nuts, folks. But most of this is going to be anniversary stuff. Like, it's the 20th anniversary of Spider-Man 2. It's the 20th anniversary of iRobot and Taxi. It is the 30th anniversary of Drop Zone and Terminal Velocity. It's the 30th anniversary of Pulp Fiction. 30th anniversary of Forrest Gump. You see where I'm going with this. They're all movie reviews kind of stuff. We, like I said, we also do TV stuff. My buddy Dave and I are doing Columbo season by season. So that's a thing. But yeah, Studio 2009, we do a lot of different stuff over there. We cover a lot of movies that I've never seen before. I had only ever seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade because I did not care about the Temple of Doom, and I just, Raiders was just never on my radar. but yeah, Studio 2009 over on Geekcast Radio. I don't know what we've got going on there. Steve's doing his Altered Geek thing with its digital Discord, discussing out of touch companies and other media news. We've got a Phineas and Ferb podcast. We've got an interview coming up in December with Craig Miller. Craig Miller is a writer, producer, that kind of stuff, and he actually was there. He was actually the director of Star Wars fan relations during Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back. So we've got an interview with him coming up. Just so much, folks. GeekCastRadio.com. We have got almost in 15 and a half years, we have almost 4,000 podcast episodes. We have 3,901 currently as of this recording.
It's a lot of episodes.
That's right.
In addition to the 31 episodes in 31 days,
nope.
Also working on one episode for 24 nope. hours.
Nope, that's not happening.
Pizza, man. Pizza coming your way.
Right. I'll believe it when it gets delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My plugs, you can find this podcast at anothercomicreview.com. Please rate and review wherever you find and listen to your podcasts. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/matrix_prime. And while we do not have, maybe I should set it up, but while we do not have feedback email, you can send me an email and I'll read it on here. You can send it to matrix, that's matrix.prime, P-R-I-M-E, @gmail.com. I'd love to hear from our listeners. If you have any questions, feel free to shoot us an email. We'd love to ask and answer them on the show.
Absolutely.
Or read and answer them on the show. I think that's it. Looking forward to issue number 2.
Yep.
And then we got
Transformers 14 and Void Rivals 14. Is that right?
Correct. Yep. Yeah. I was going to say, coming up next, we have Transformers number 14. Will Ryan appear? Whatever he wants to be called. I don't know.
I think the uneven flow will make an uneven flow appearance.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. It's always
maybe it's the uneven overflow.
It's always up in the air until recording night. So
no, it's not.
Yep,
not always.
Most of the time. Most of the time it's up in the air. Yep. Yeah, I think that's it. You got anything else in your end?
I think that's it.
All right. I think that's it. So I will end the show here. Thanks for tuning in and be sure to check us out next time.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullback, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThePullback. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullback and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.